Today is Palm Sunday. In a lot of churches in Western culture and elsewhere, people are handing out palm branches today as a reminder of something that occurred about 2,000 years ago. And we are closing in on the Easter season. Passion Week is all about the Easter story and a regular part of our lives here at Whitewater. And before we go on to the next step in our Common Ground series, I want to talk with you a little bit about the significance of this week. There were some interesting things that were happening. The reference to palm branches have to do with Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And people thought that Jesus was coming as a political solution. He was going to be their king, and they were really excited about it, and they welcomed him. He fulfilled prophecy by coming into the city on a donkey. These were things that had been foretold ages before. So there was a lot going on there. But if you look at the Passion story and what was happening, Jesus had an interesting reaction to people's celebration. Hosanna Week is another thing that this week is called, because the community of people that were gathered there, thinking Jesus was going to be their political solution, were celebrating him. And Jesus knew they didn't get it. And Jesus' heart was breaking at this point where the community around him was celebrating more than ever before. Jesus' heart was broken because they did not understand. He desired for them to know who he really was, but they didn't. He also knew that these same people that were laying down these palm branches and their cloaks so that even the hooves of his donkey wouldn't get dirty would be calling for his crucifixion in just a few days. That's what Passion Week is about. This first day of it is a difficult week for us to remember. We have the hope of Sunday, Easter Sunday. But they didn't know that then. What they saw happening during the Passion Week looked like the greatest failure and the greatest disappointment of all time. Live in the reality of what that must have been like. And also for me, I've been thinking a little bit, it occurred to me yesterday. An awful lot of the world is still celebrating the crucifixion. We get to celebrate the resurrection. So next week we are going to depart from our regular sermon series, Common Ground series, for a special Easter Sunday celebration service. It's going to be similar for those of you who've been here for Easter's and Christmas Eve's in the past. Going to be a lot of music, going to be some scripture reading mixed in with the music. We are going to have some of the normal elements of a church service. We're going to do communion. We're going to have a take up an offering. But this is an opportunity for us to share our faith with a lot of other people, because there's a lot of people that go to church pretty much like twice a year, right? To a Christmas or Christmas Eve service and to an Easter service. So I want to invite you who claim the name of Jesus to consider inviting some people to come with you next week. It won't be a real, real churchy service, but there'll be some of that. They'll come under the hearing of the word, and they'll get a glimpse of what life in the kingdom can be like. So I hope that you'll consider doing that. Pray about who you might invite this week and bring them with you next week. So, getting back to our series, because today we are going to go on to step six. And Caleb is going to share for us step six. And this is an interesting step, because steps connote action, movement. But this step, as Caleb will present for you, has all its actions happening on the insides. So I pray for each of us and for Caleb that we'll get a glimpse of what that's like in this process of being able to move forward but needing to really take stock in where we're at. So I'm going to pray now for Caleb's message, because I know what a week he has had in preparation for this, and I ask you to join me in praying. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that it is the work of your Holy Spirit in us that allows us to see what we could not see and to hear what we could not hear before. Lord, when these things are hard truths about ourselves, I pray for our comfort to be found in you, in who you are, in how you are. And I pray for Caleb as he shares all the work that you did in him this week and all the work that you're going to do through his experiences today for each of us. We pray for your glory, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen. Brother.
Good morning. How are we doing? Woo-hoo. The one lone woo. Yeah. So let's put the step up there real quick, because I'm going to talk through this. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. When I am talking about being entirely ready, I have to confess to you guys, I feel entirely unprepared for today. When I spoke 3 weeks ago, I felt like I walked in the room with like 6 different sermons in my head that I had to wade through. I don't feel that way today. So I'm a little bit nervous. So here we go. Entirely ready. I'm going to break this step down into 3 places because I feel that if we don't take the step and break it down, that we think of it as a Christian duh moment. D-U-H, duh. That we think this is a passive existence and a passive step. That if I'm entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character, why else would I be doing this process? I should already be entirely ready. So when we talk about entirely ready, I break it down as this in my world, that through my addictions and through me moving closer to Jesus and over the last decade of just being blessed with this constant, crazy, squiggly path of getting closer to God, what did entirely ready mean to me? And how did it play out in my world? And so often I would say, I'm entirely ready to have God remove my porn addiction, or I'm entirely ready to have God remove my fear or my doubt or my control of money or my control of my life. But is that true? How often do you guys say that I'm entirely ready for change or I'm entirely ready for different, but you're not? Do you guys experience, do you live this? Because I do this all the time. I'll say, yeah, this is God's. I need it to go away. I'm entirely ready for this. But then I hold on to it. I held on to my addictions because of this, and I said, oh, God, if you just take this part, but not this part. I need ownership here. Oh, God, take my control, but not really, because I still don't want to give that up. Or, oh, God, please take my fear or my doubt, but I'm still doubtful, and I'm still full of fear. So am I entirely ready? In Galatians 5:1, and I'm going to read it off the screen. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I'm going to say that again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Do you feel that in your struggles in life, you have something on your shoulders? We call it a monkey on our back. We call it a yoke. We call it whatever you want to call it. But do you guys feel that at times? Do you feel like there is sin controlling your world or controlling your nature that you have no ability to pull off of your shoulders, that you have no ability to set aside and move forward? I feel like this is me so often with so many things. And I feel like the multiple times I've walked this step and worked this step, when I say that I'm entirely ready, I'm not. I'm not entirely ready because I'm not ready to give up my stuff. And in all reality, if I'm not entirely ready, I need to go back through steps 1 through 5 and take account of, did I actually do the work? Did I actually let Jesus work in my life? Did I actually say, I can't control this and I need God? Did I make a moral inventory? And did I tell it to God? Did I tell it to another person?
And did I let go of it? Did I get ready to let God do his work? And I don't know that I can say that. And I would assume there's probably plenty of you in here who, whatever your issue may be, it might not be addiction, it might be fear, it might be anything. It might be that you just want to do your own thing and have God kind of sit in the back seat. But that's not what God calls us to. That's not where God moves us. And when it talks about freedom, I've used this sentence a lot in the last few weeks because it's really hitting me hard. These are the seeds of freedom, my friends. Becoming entirely ready to move forward. Is hard and exciting. So when this step says entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, I consistently have focused on entirely ready and defects of character. Because boy, howdy, do I hate my defects of character. For so long, with so many issues, this step has always been, I'm entirely ready to get rid of my crap. I'm entirely ready to move forward. And I think for so long, I was, and I am, and I think I've moved mountains in my world inappropriately to get to this place. When we talk about defects of character, and when I talk about it in reference to the step, we're talking about what you did in step 4 and 5. We're talking about the things you wrote down in your inventory, but not just the addiction or the issue, but the it. And what I mean by that is not just my addiction to porn or sexuality, not just my addiction to money and control, but what's the it? What causes that in my world? And we've been touching on this for 5 weeks, and so beautifully Louise put it last week, do I really believe God can do what God can do? What's my it? Do I trust God? Do I believe God? Or do I just say I do? I'm laughing because I had no intention of any of these things coming out of my mouth today. I talked with Craig yesterday on his porch about my week and the insanity that was this last week for me and the beauty that was this week. God was amazing, always is, but was so evident to me this week. I'm going to have to explain my week to you because I don't know how else to get this out. So we left here on Sunday, and I got home, I took a nap, and I figured that I would try to process my sermon week out. Those four of us that are teaching this series have agreed to give our notes to each other once we have them so that we can receive feedback and make sure we're not missing things. And just that process to me is so life-giving and so beautiful to have someone look at where I'm moving and where I'm processing and give me other alternatives and other thought processes and other Jesus, the things that they're seeing. And so I hit Sunday and I thought, okay, I'm going to get my notes done so that on Monday I can get them my notes and my week's going to go great. Because like my job is normally, it's insane. I had Thursday, I had 7 different events in like 9 hours. My job is nuts sometimes. I do all of the events on campus, and so I consistently am just running. And so Sunday, I sit down to start my notes, and I just can't do anything. I can't move anywhere. I start to try to read the Bible, and I get like 3 words in, and I lose it. Just, it's gone. And this happens to me over and over, so I try to take notes, and I get nowhere. And I scribble some things on a page, and while I look at them, I'm like, this is crap, and I know it, and I can't get anywhere today. So I say, all right, try again tomorrow. So Monday morning, I've told you guys in the past, but for those of you that are new, my father is a pastor in Nebraska. And me and my dad's relationship has moved past this place of father-son and closer to this place of we confide in each other and we work together, at least over the phone, to help each other in ministry. My dad is a very close friend of mine at this point in life. And I call my dad and I said, hey, this is what I'm teaching. And I'm not getting anywhere. And my dad lovingly kind of lets me in on where he's been over this last week in teaching through the Easter sermon and doing all his stuff. And he equates entirely ready to have God remove all my defects of character to where he's at in his sermon series and with his people and the things that he's doing in Nebraska and the places that he's moving. And I feel at the end of this conversation so filled with God's love and so just topped off with God's influence, and I'm excited about that. And then I move later into the day, and is Clay in here? No? So I had coffee with Clay. If you guys know Clay, he's somebody here at the church. And Clay's experience in life is just amazing with what he has done with God and what God's done through him. And I move into this conversation, and Clay starts talking to me about, man, even in the darkest places, God is moving his people. Even in the places that you think God can't do anything because those people are so screwed up, God is still there and God is still moving. And I walked out of that conversation just stoked, so excited about where I was at and what God was just churning in my world and in my heart. And I got home that night and I tried to sit down and write a sermon and I got nowhere. Just brick walled. And at that point, I thought, I think God's stonewalling me. I think God is putting this thing in my path so I can't move anywhere, and I don't know why, but I'm pretty sure this is God, because I've dealt with spiritual attack a lot in my life, and this doesn't feel like that. I feel so full of God's grace and God's love right now, but man, I can't write a stinking word. So I don't. And on Tuesday morning, I go to Death Wishes, and me and Craig and the group have beautiful discussions, and I feel God's movement again. And then I get done with Death Wishes, and I talk with my buddy Jasper, and I have an awesome conversation, and I leave that feeling amazed and full of God. And I walk through my day with this just dumbfounded thought process of, man, this is so cool that this is where I'm at right now. And I get home on Tuesday night, and I sit down to write a sermon, and I hit a wall. And I hit the wall again, and I get super angry that I'm consistently hitting this wall. And I become bitey, and I become annoyed, and my poor wife has to deal with me while I'm being a turd. And I get a call on my cell phone while she's trying to keep the kids upstairs so I can stay downstairs and write a sermon. And it's from my job, and I run venues on campus. One of my venues is a concert hall, and it has these Steinway pianos. And someone's like, hey, the piano's locked, and we have a dress rehearsal. So I'm like, oh, no worries. Dial my staff member and throw my phone to my ear thinking, he'll just run upstairs and deal with it. I know he's at work. I saw him when I left work. His phone rings to voicemail. I call again, his phone rings to voicemail, and I think he's got his headphones in and his cell phone out of his pocket. He has no idea I'm calling him. So I get angry and I rip my coat off the chair and I walk out the door and get in the truck to drive to work. And halfway to work, I hear God say in my head, hey man, you need a break. This is it. Cool. Thanks, God. So I get to work, I walk downstairs, I grab the keys from my staff who feels horrible that I had to come into work, and I just said, man, it's not a big deal, I needed a break. I unlock the piano, and on my way home, I call my dad, and I realize throughout this process on Tuesday, and as I'm calling my dad, that God's already telling me, you can't write this sermon by your own. You can't write this sermon on your own volition and your own will. And at this point, I'm thinking, God's going to give me this sermon through other people's mouths. God's going to give me this sermon through the people that I confide in and that I know Jesus is constantly working in my life through. And I call my dad on the way home, and I tell him what's going on, and he's like, hey, man, I think God's telling you you need to wait. I think God's telling you you need to just wait for him to work. And I'm like, yeah, Dad, you're probably right. And so I think, well, I'll stop at the still, and I'll grab a bottle of wine, and I'll sit at home and have a glass of wine with my wife and just calm down and apologize for being a turd. And honey, if I didn't apologize, I truly am sorry. Because boy, howdy, was I at putts. And so I get to the still, and I hang up the phone with my dad, and I hop out of the truck, and I lock the door with my elbow and slam the door closed and take a step and go, my keys are in my truck. Okay. So I tell the guy at the liquor store, don't worry about my truck. I'm going to go walk home and get my keys. And as I'm walking home, I'm talking to God, and I'm saying, God, what is it for me? What do you have for me? Why is this happening? And I just know that what my dad said was truth. I know that I need to wait, and I need to wait for God to move, and I need to chill out. And all of these things is God saying, chill. So I get home, and I'm telling my wife, lamenting about where I'm at. And she says, honey, isn't the spare key to your truck in your toolbox on your truck? Yep. So I walk back outside, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, all right, God, I'm in. Whatever you need, man, do it. So I'm walking back to the still to get my truck, and I text the sermon planning team and just go, guys, God's roadblocking me. I can't get anywhere. I need to wait. I don't know what to do. And they all send back these emails of encouragement and thought processes and maybe different ways to think about things, which was all really helpful and really beautiful. And God was just like, stop, wait. So Wednesday, I try again to write a sermon, and I still feel like God's saying the same thing, and I don't get anywhere. And Thursday morning, we started a jazz festival that I knew I was going to be dealing with like 30 high schools from around the state and all these crazy performances. So Thursday morning, I get up, and you guys know I love coffee, and this is like my lifeblood, and I get out of the house, and I think, when is God going to give me a message for Sunday? And I'm at work, and I get a text from Craig, and he says, hey, man, I was just praying, and I think God's telling me to tell you to think about fasting. And to give you guys a background on that, I've never fasted in my life, because I love food. And that's like a super scary thing to me to not eat. And so I hit. So Craig calls me, and I call him back, and he tells me kind of what he's feeling and what he's hearing from God. And I just go, okay, great, I'm going to fast. So I just start running around, doing my job. And I'm just drinking coffee like it's no tomorrow. And I hit noon, and I realize that I've had the better part of a pot of coffee, which isn't uncommon for me, but because I eat, my stomach deals with that better. And I hit noon, and I'm like, ooh, I don't feel great, but I'm gonna power through. So I have another event starting later in the afternoon, and I go to my next space, and I'm setting up, which is a rarity. Usually my guys are doing it, and I feel my stomach start to turn, and I start to feel that, like, yeah, you're gonna puke, man. Like, this ain't gonna end well. And I think, all right, well, so I go upstairs to the vending machine, and I get a bag of Cheetos, because that's healthy. And I go downstairs, and I'm praying, and I'm going, God, what is this? Like, what do you need from me here? And I am eating this bag of Cheetos, just like, whatever, this is crazy. And I'm just like, God, I don't know where I'm at. And I finish eating this bag of Cheetos, and this event starts. And I see other people that are in this, that are from this congregation, and I feel like that's lifting my spirit, and that God again is showing me, like, hey, I'm moving in the people in your world. Hey, I'm moving in the friends and the family around you. Hey, watch, wait, see what I'm doing. And I just don't get it. So I finish my shift at 7:30 at night, and I text my wife, and I say, honey, I'm coming home. And I had told her that about Craig's talk with God, and she said, are you fasting? And I said, yeah, I think so. Because that's the appropriate way to approach fasting, right? Yeah, I think so. And she goes, okay, I'll put away dinner really fast. And I said, well, why do you have to put away dinner? Like, I can smell food. It's fine. And she's like, yeah, I ordered pizza. Have you guys watched this documentary, Ugly Delicious? It's a documentary about food and like food culture in the United States. And the whole first episode's about pizza. And I love pizza. I covet pizza. Like, I probably need to walk the 12 steps about pizza. And I am so like loving pizza. And I'm like, oh, it's fine, honey. And she's like, no, I'll put it away. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. And I get home and I smell the pizza. And I'm like, oh, pizza. So I go upstairs and I'm doing some work. And I just feel like my core crumbling a little bit. Mind you, this is 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. This isn't like a normal amount of, like, this is between meals. This isn't like, I hadn't been fasting for days and smelled pizza. I'd been fasting for like 5 hours. And I smelled pizza, and I'm like, ah, pizza. So I am talking to her, and she's, and I go downstairs, and she's laughing at me because she's like, there's no way, you're not going to make it. She goes to the garage, and she comes back around the corner, and I'm like sixth piece in, like just shoving pizza into my face and going, what in the world, man? Like, I just housed like half a pizza. And I lay down for bed, and I realize, and God's just saying, you didn't talk to me once today, man. You talked at me, but you didn't talk to me today. You didn't ask me if I wanted you to fast. You just thought that was probably the good idea. You didn't ask me what you should be doing. You didn't take your time to talk to me. You just did. And I laid there and went, all right, God, here we go. So Friday morning, I wake up, and I've got to go to work by 7:30. And I go, I'm yours, God. Whatever you want, make it happen. I make it to 8:30, and I'm starving. I ate at 8:30 the night before. It's like 12 hours. And I'm like, ah, I'm so hungry. So I go to my office, and I shut the door, and I pray, and I said, God, your will. Whatever you want in this, I'm in it. I've never fasted. I don't know what this is like, but I'm in it. Let's do this thing. I make it to 9:45, and I'm starving again, and I'm trying to work and not smell all the food that they're catering for these events, and I'm like, ah, I'm so hungry. And I hear from the guy I work with that they're catering pizza in for all of the people that are working, and I'm still, like, super into pizza. And I'm like, ah! So I go to leave, and there's a bus blocking my truck, and I can't back out. And I'm like, I have to live in this building through lunch. So I go back down to my office, and I pray again, God, what is it? What do you need from me? What do you want from me? And I just, nothing. You know, God's just like, just hang out, man. So I work through the rest of the day. I lose this perseverativeness about food. I lose these things, and I do my job, and I feel like, all right, whatever this is, I'm in. You know, and I'm like talking to God, and I'm saying, you know, and I'm hoping maybe it'll end on today. Like, I'll get done with my sermon, and I'll be able to eat, and, you know, God will be like, cool, man, do your thing. And so I'm like, all right. So I'm kind of prepping for that. And all the while, I'm not really thinking about what's this premise, what's this purpose, and why I'm doing this. So I go home at 4:45, and I tell my wife, I'm tired because I haven't eaten in like 22 hours. I'm going to go lay down. So I go upstairs, and I lay down, and I wake up, and I feel like God says, write down your week, man. Write this story down. So I go into the office, and I start typing. And it's the first time I've been able to type in 6 days. It's the first time I've been able to form a sentence in 6 days and not get super angry at this process. And I write out my week. I write out this story, and I look at it, and I go, everything you did this week was your will. Everything you did this week was on you. You so willfully decided that you were going to preach a message by your own volition. In James 4:10, which is the verse for this portion, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I am dumbfounded. It took me 6 days. I had this verse since last week. I am dumbfounded. It took me 6 days to read this and realize it was God talking to me. God didn't just give me this verse or give Craig this verse in the initial step just because you guys need to learn this Or you guys need to experience this. So often I want to do and I want to work and I want to be a part of something, but so few times do I want to listen. So few times do I want God to speak to me, humble me, make my will non-existent, and put his in place. 3 times I've done this step. This is the third. 2 of the times I said, entirely ready to have all my defects gone. God spent a week teaching me that it's entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character. I think so often for those of us that have walked the road of addiction, we think this God thing is this ethereal outsider thing. And that in all reality, we just use this process to get sober. And that does work. I'm not going to deny that. There are people who have made ashtrays their God in the 12 steps and they've gotten sober. But in all reality, for me as a Christian, for me as a person who seeks God and wants God's will to replace mine, this floored me this week. Never was I alone this week. Never did I feel discouraged. Never did I feel that God had left me alone. I just knew God was working and I wasn't getting anywhere. When we talk about it being entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, those defects of character will change. When we get to the it of our issues, when we sit back and realize that my sin nature is specifically because I don't always believe God can do what God can do. But when I take the time to trust in God, when I take the time to have the willingness to allow God to remove things in my life, I talk a lot in my head and with other people, and I say that because it's true, about the refiner's fire. Have you guys ever watched blacksmiths? A lot of Jesus people use this analogy, but I've watched blacksmiths like on YouTube videos. It's like the coolest thing ever. And they heat up metal and they beat it. And they heat it up and they beat it. And as they heat it up and shape this metal, they're removing impurities. And I think so often that I am the steel trying to pick the impurities out of my own system. I think so often that I know what God wants and I do that instead of allowing God to have control over that process. Isaiah 43 18 and 19. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a path through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. That see, I have already begun. I think God said that to me 10 times this week. I'd have a conversation and God would say, see, I'm doing it, and I'd lose it. And then I'd move farther and I'd feel roadblocked and God would say, I'm doing it, and I would just move farther and keep hitting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock and not listen to the fact that God was saying, your will isn't it, man. It's not a matter of, for weeks I've been saying, I want my will to look like God's. That's like the Jesus-iest thing I could say, right? Like super churchy. I want my will to look like God's. But that's not the thing. The thing is getting my will out of the way and God's will taking its place. Replace my will with God's. This has been such a beautiful an inspiring week for me. And Craig mentioned yesterday, he's like, man, you're not going to forget this. It's not like big things happened exteriorly in my world. It's not like I saw massive movement, but what I did see was God humble me and move. Isaiah 43:18 and 19 Louise brought it up a couple of weeks ago. Man, I don't know if you guys are seeing this, but the movement I'm seeing right now, the influence of God, the change that I get to hear about and experience in conversations with you guys and in myself is flooring. I am consistently right now in awe of what God is doing. Man, if you guys aren't seeing this, if you're not feeling this, pay attention. This is for all of us. This is a thing that I believe that God is consistently bringing this back to us, that it's not just a Louise thing, it's not just a Caleb thing, it's not just a Craig or a Cindy thing or an Adam thing. This is a you thing. That God is saying, hey, I know you like well-worn paths. Too freaking bad. Time to get up. Time to move. I've got one last thing. And this might be the shortest time I've ever spoke to anyone in my life. In Isaiah, what it's talking about, in the steps, what we're talking about, in the things that we're doing right now, not just in Whitewater, not just in this room, but what God is doing in the body of Christ, I think so often is this. This is a place of willingness to move how God asks. It's exciting. It causes me anxiety. Because I so bad want to control where I am going, but God says, no, stop and listen. These processes and these spiritual disciplines that we're talking about are not the end of the story. These are ways God has instituted for us to move past our crap so we can see Him clearer. I have to ask myself over and over, do I see it? Do I see God's movement? Do I see that God is beginning something new in me and in you and in this body and moving farther forward? This whole week has been about God saying, yeah, man, look around you. We'll have people come up to pray. Man, if you've got amens, if you've got good things, if you've got things you want to shout to the heavens that things are awesome in your world, get it done. If you got crap on your windshield and you need someone to help you wipe it off, now's the time. Guys, I love you, and I'm going to pray for you. We're going to go. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your ability to speak openly and honestly in my heart. I thank you for your desire for me. I thank you for so often that you make my world uncomfortable because I don't want to change. And you lovingly and simply just say, Caleb, move my way. God, lift up these people as they move into the week. God, show them you as bright and as loud as you can. Open their hearts. Open their minds. You are so evident when we look. We thank you and we love you. Grace and peace, guys.